Peace to you and grace in the name of Jesus, who said something about those who are humble will be made great. Now, a lot of us think when we hear the word humble that it's lower than snake's belly humiliated, huh? Actually, the kind of humble that Jesus was talking about is the kind of humble that acknowledges that I'm not the only one. That I'm not the only person in this room, that my view is not the only view. I heard by the vine, by the way, that Tuesday is Mark Kraker's birthday. Did you know that? So I thought I'd take a picture of him. Let's see if I can get a picture of Mark in there. Pretty good. I got just about everybody else too. Oh, wait a minute. He doesn't want to do it. Let's see if I can. Oh, he doesn't want to film this. You know, I have to put some film in it, that's right. Actually, I think, yes, I did do that. Oh, well, we'll see if this will work. I don't know. There, I got it. Okay. Oh, no, here it comes. Now, the truth is that I actually didn't get a very good picture because this is that short lens. So I'm going to put my other lens on, this telephoto lens. And now I can really get a good close-up of this guy whose birthday it is. It's going to be... He's leaving. I've got this set on a delay mode. There you are. I got you. Now, the cool thing about telephoto lens is that if you're out at Peterson Park and there's one of those Lakers going out by the island, just past the island, you can see its shape, but you wouldn't have any idea what it is. If you put a telephoto lens on, you can bring that ship right in close and you can actually maybe sometimes even read the name of it. Last December, when Patricia and I were in Duluth, we were across the bay of Lake Superior where the ships go out, and it was December 29th, and it was the last of the ships going out to get out to the Sioux. I saw this great ship out there, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out to put my telephoto in, and I brought it right in up close and saw that it was a Canadian Steamship Lines ship going out through the Sioux, to the Sioux. The trouble with telephoto lenses is that they reduce our field of vision. So when I took that second picture of Mark, he's the only person in the picture. I don't have Ben, I don't have Carl, I don't have Patricia, and I certainly don't have the rest of you. When I took it without my telephoto lens, I was able to get almost all, well, not them, but almost all of you in that picture. When we look up close, we only see in part. Some of you know that a guy by the name of Brian Berghoff was here for church recently. He's the pastor of a new church start in Holland, Michigan. And he has published a book called Pub Theology. And in that book on Pub Theology, he has this quote from a guy by the name of Paul Nitter, who uses the image of a telescope to tell you what I just told you with my telephoto lens. He says this: a simple analogy might make all this clearer and reveal its relevance for our issue of dialogue. We might compare truth, or the way things are, to the starry universe around us. Have you ever lain on Bremen Hill at night when the stars are out? You can't possibly take it all in. Just, it's so vast to see all that magnificent cover-up that's up there. There is so much of it, and it's so far away that our naked eye, with our naked eyes, we really can't see what's there. So we have to use a telescope. But by enabling us to see something of the universe, our telescope also prevents us from seeing everything. By its very nature, it focuses. A telescope, even the mighty ones used by astronomers, can take in only so much. This describes our human situation. We're always looking at the truth. Get this now. We're always looking at the truth through some kind of cultural telescope. The one provided for us by our parents, our teachers, the broader society. The good news is that about this situation is that our telescope enables us to see. The bad news is that it prevents us from seeing everything. So today in the daily devotional, Tony Robinson quoted this, or told this story of John Calvin. 2017 marks the 500th anniversary of the Pentecost Reformation. My favorite passage in the writing of the Reformation leader John Calvin is when he describes his conversion. Calvin wrote that by his conversion he was given a teachable spirit. Isn't that a great phrase? Imagine if we could be given a teachable spirit. Wow. God, wrote Calvin, by a sudden conversion brought to my mind a teachable spirit, my spirit was more hardened in such matters than might have been expected from one at such an early period of life as mine. Already at a young age, his heart was hardened and he was seeing telescopically, but was not being able to be reached by being taught. Now, if you go on in this passage from Matthew that you heard Mary read to you, Jesus really skewers the Pharisees. He's just got one image after another about how they are seeing narrowly and not seeing the whole thing. At one point he says, "You strain gnats and swallow camels." What camels have you swallowed? Or what camels are you swallowing? I'm much more aware of the camels you swallow than of my own. Apparently, this issue of seeing narrowly is old and old, which is why Jesus talks about it in the Gospels. There's a woman at the Omega Institute by the name of Byron Katie, who has a website called The Work, in which she says that she can turn almost anyone's life around by getting them to struggle with four questions. And the four questions are, is it true? Is it true? Can you absolutely know that it's true? How do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? And fourth, who would you be without that thought? So I grew up in boarding school where God was keeping track of my black marks. We didn't get gold stars, we got black marks for not polishing our shoes or not making our bed correctly or whatever. So that's the image of God I had, and as an adult, I was invited into an extended kind of meditation where a guy was guiding us. And in this meditation, he guided us in to walk down a big street and go into a building that had many, many floors. And we went in, and there was an elevator, but he didn't want us to use the elevator, so he asked us to find the door that said stairs, and we began to climb the stairs. And he kept guiding us all the way along about how we're going. Finally, we got to the top floor, and he said, "All the doors are locked. I want you to go into one and open it." And so I wandered that hall to make sure I selected the correct door. I turned the knob, and I opened it. And then this guy said, "God's there." Was my response. God is keeping track of my black marks.
Is it absolutely true?
What would happen if I let go of that? I told that story to the group of people that were in this meditation with me, and another person said, you know what happened when I opened the door and he said, God is there? Everybody I've ever known in all of my life was in that room, and they were talking and laughing and having the grandest time. What camels are you swallowing? Amen.